my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 88 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast, and we are recording. Chad is joining me tonight. I say tonight because we are recording this just about 30 minutes, I guess, after Battleground went off the air. And full disclosure, I watched on a semi-reliable feed in my car on the way home from Holiday World tonight. So, and I'm also battling a splitting headache, but you don't want to hear my woes and problems.
It's like 3 hours past your bedtime.
So. It is, but I'm actually on vacation this week, so it is all good in the hood. I am going to be watching Raw and SmackDown live this week too, which will be exciting. But speaking of Raw and SmackDown, Chad, we both posted on my123cents.com some thoughts about the draft and whatnot. You had a couple of follow-ups you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, you know, your blog was regarding Bayley, which I'm sure we'll talk about more
yes.
in a minute. Mine was looking at the questionable logic of some of the draft picks, and the more that I got to thinking about it, the more a certain aspect just I think was really overlooked. And actually it was something that I thought was going to be playoff on Battleground, but that did not happen. And that is, and again, I know I'm sitting here in hindsight looking back critiquing a thing, and I don't know what ideas were thrown about in WWE behind the scenes, so I'm just basing this off of what I see on screen. And that is, I don't think the champions should have been drafted. I think it should have been set up to where there was an announcement with which titles represent each brand, and those champions should have then automatically went to those brands. And with Battleground having, you know, both the Intercontinental title match and the United States title having competitors from opposite brands, had the title changed hand, the winner would have gone to whatever brand the title represents. Does that make sense?
It does.
And so I think that would have also, by doing so, I think SmackDown would not have looked so bad in drafting the champion and then drafting no other champions until only The Miz was left on the table, and then drafting him and being like, oh, well, we need a champion, so we have to take The Miz, and kind of wasted a draft pick that they didn't want to make. So that is my thought, I think.
Yeah, but they had drafted Dean already by that point.
They had drafted Dean already, yeah, but that was the only champion they had, and then Raw being home to the Cruiserweight division, which you would think once the tournament on the WWE Network is over, they will have a Cruiserweight champion. Then they had the Women's Champion, the Tag Team Champions, and the Intercontinental Champion, or the United States Champion. So that's four titles to Raw's one. And had SmackDown not picked The Miz, then Raw could have picked up The Miz as well and had all the championships.
True, true. And so it is also... was that kind of your final thoughts on the draft?
Yeah. I just think champions should not have been drafted. I think it would have made more sense to already to align them to a show and then just focus on building. But at the same time, you can say, well, if they did that, then, you know, if you have the women's division on Raw, SmackDown doesn't have to draft any women, and does it make the women look lesser than because they weren't getting drafted.
Right. And do you think, though, that SmackDown will not have a women's championship division nor a tag team championship division?
I think they both will, since they both have competitors in those divisions.
Okay, and then what about the world heavyweight? Because at the end of the tonight, and I guess we'll kind of use this to segue back into or get into Battleground, but at the end of the event, SmackDown Live was announced as being the show with the champion. Do you think that Raw will? I mean, I guess it'll all depend on what happens on Raw Monday night.
Yeah. I'll definitely see them bringing back a title before Raw and probably having Seth and Roman feud over it for the next 3 months.
That's kind of, yeah, I wrote a blog and I mean, I really missed the boat or missed the bus on the blog I wrote, the prediction blog for that went out before the show. But the one thing I think I did get right was that Dean would win and that there would be some sort of championship crowning on Raw.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll happen if you're listening Monday. Maybe it'll happen tonight on Raw. But I, you know,
and as you said in your blog, and I've said this since announcing that they announced the draft, Raw should have a title. They should have a world champion, and I would prefer two champions as opposed to one champion bouncing back and forth. But I hope that if they do it, you know, do a tournament. Whether it be one night, 2 weeks leading up to SummerSlam, or I just don't want them to come out and hand somebody the title like they did with Triple H back in 2002.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that's how they kind of originally did it with Triple H, was handing him the title. I'm a man of many problems as we record this. My internet is going in and out, so I am going to go by memory on the matches, and if I miss anything, jump in here. I did not catch the pre-show, so I'm dying to know Usos versus Breezango.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Breezango won.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I've said before, I think just in conversation with you, I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast, that to me, I think Breezango can be, they can be the new generation's New Age Outlaws, maybe not to the extent of the popularity of the New Age Outlaws, especially when Breezango hardly getting mic time, but it's taking two guys who were doing nothing and putting them together into a tag team that people originally thought would do nothing, but then the sum of the parts is greater than the individual parts.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, and we've talked, I think we have talked about it on the show too, and the conversation we've had along the way inspired a blog about that not too very long ago. So I totally agree. And I'm glad that I guess it's Breezango. But anyway, I'm glad that Fandango and Tyler Breeze won. And hopefully this is the start of something big for those two guys. The show opened with, which kind of a surprise, the women's tag team match with Charlotte and, good Lord, what's her name?
I'm Dana Brooke.
Thank you. Against Sasha Banks and Nia Jax, right? No,
yes.
I was totally wrong on that. It was Bayley. A lot of speculation. I'm really kind of baffled by, I think because everybody assumed it was going to be Bayley, that was one thing. But then also with it just being less than a week after the draft, I don't understand why they did the whole mystery partner thing and why they didn't just draft her and make that a match. There was really, I guess, at the end of the day, there was no surprise.
Well, I think it was, to me, what was even more baffling is that last week on SmackDown, I believe it was, they did the same match, only Sasha teamed with Becky, when it would have made more sense to have Sasha versus Dana and then teasing this tag match with the mystery partner. Because if you have the same match, only you actually substitute someone in there for the mystery partner, it's illogical to me. I'd heard, you know, everybody was speculating that it was going to be Bayley. I kind of downplayed it because I was kind of like, yeah, why would you debut Bayley this way after the draft? But then listening to the pre-show when the panel was making their predictions, and I don't think anybody picked Bayley, but they were talking about Nikki Bella, who had been rumored, Lita. It seemed like they were going out of their way to not mention Bayley's name, which I think was done then so that it would be more of a surprise with fans not thinking about it. And I don't know if it is a permanent call-up or if this was a one-night only. You know, Sasha Banks needed a partner, so she went back to her greatest rival.
I wondered that too, but at one point during commentary, and take that for what it's worth, I think Michael Cole said, what a way for Bayley to make her WWE debut, which to me implied that she is no longer on NXT.
Yeah.
But then what show does she go to? And how does that, you know, how do they explain that? Because that's essentially an extra draft pick for Raw, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and you would think now, after the draft is over, you're good. We can expect more people to show up because there are rumors that WWE is reaching out to former stars, and apparently Curt Hawkins has been re-signed and Jinder Mahal is in talks to come back. So now I think you'll be seeing the play up as the general manager is going out and signing talent that wasn't available during the draft.
I see. Three-man band reunion? But, I mean,
even with Cole saying Bayley making her debut, technically she did make her debut tonight.
Right, and that's why I kind of went back and forth. I'm like, well, is that implying that she's a part of the company, or she is, you know, you're right, she is technically making her debut too, so even if she goes back down.
It's also Michael Cole.
True.
How often does he say things that are actually relevant?
This is true, and that's why I said take it with a grain of salt. Let's see here.
Well, I was gonna say real quick that match. The match was decent.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about the actual match. It was decent, but it just felt so rushed to me. Like it seemed like it was over as soon as it started. And I also don't think Charlotte should have tapped. I think Dana should have taken the loss for the team, so that then Charlotte can taunt Sasha by saying, you know, you haven't beaten me. You haven't. You know, you still shouldn't get a title shot because what have you ever done? But now Sasha can say, I deserve a title shot because I beat you, so.
Yeah, and I guess the implication is that, or the assumption is that will be the SummerSlam Women's Championship match will be against between these two.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you remember what was next? I apologize.
New Day and Wyatt's.
That's right. I assumed that New Day would win this. I was wrong. I do like the way that this match went. For a split second there, I thought, I don't know why I thought this, but I always have in the back of my head that there's going to be some sort of turn, and I almost waited for Xavier Woods when he got like entranced with Bray Wyatt to like turn on Big E and Kofi, and they kept playing up Xavier's fear of Bray Wyatt, but in the end that's I guess what actually ended up costing them the match.
Yeah. Well, and Xavier Woods was starting to sport a beard tonight, so is this foreshadowing growing a big bushy beard and joining the Wyatts?
Ugh. God, I hope not.
I'm trying to think back to even this match.
There were some good spots. It was one of those where it was a spot fest there toward the end where everybody takes everybody, you know, one at a time, they're taking each other out of it.
And I think this is going to be the overlying theme for the show is I don't think there was really any bad match wrestling-wise, but the show overall was just kind of there.
Right. But
we'll discuss that more of that in the wrap-up. So Wyatt's and New Day, I'm having a hard time thinking back to what happened. And until you mentioned who won, I couldn't even tell you who won the match. So Either I really zoned out, or maybe Bray Wyatt put me in a trance as well.
Yeah, well, Bray got – he caught Woods and the Sister Abigail and got the win for the Wyatt family. And seemingly the final match as the Wyatt family, at least as we know them now, Rowan and Bray are on SmackDown Live. And Braun Strowman has been drafted to Raw, so it'll be interesting to see what he does on his own, and then if and when Luke Harper comes back, where he ends up falling.
Right. Yeah.
Because I guess they didn't really draft any of the injured superstars right now.
Right, yeah.
Now, the next match, Zack Ryder going for the United States Championship. I think we both talked before. Both of the secondary championship matches for this particular event seem to be lackluster in the competitors who were challenging for the titles. And they even mentioned it during the match that, you know, Rusev made his debut against Zack Ryder the Monday after WrestleMania 30. And it was basically a squash match. And I kind of almost felt, I mean, Zack had some good moves in there, and I like how he fought at the end, and it looked like he was going to break the hold, break the Acolyte, but at the end of the day, he again ended up tapping out to Rusev.
I was just kind of surprised because I thought, you know, with WWE 2K17 coming out in a few months, I thought they'd switch. You know how they'll do the preview of the game by showing you the wrestlers that are getting ready to wrestle? Like those little videos to show you how great the graphics are and everything. Uh-huh. I thought they had switched to that, and they were showing the creator wrestler option when Zack Ryder came out, because he was wearing Sting's jacket, Randy Savage's sunglasses, and Ultimate Warrior's tights. Which, I'm kidding, but that is actually his ensemble was based on those three guys.
Yeah.
And he's tweeted a photo of him and then each one of them wearing the separate pieces. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't catch the Macho Man or Warrior outfits, but the Sting jacket was obvious to anybody who was watching wrestling back in the 90s and is a huge nerd. yeah, I thought that the match went well enough. I did buy into Zach potentially breaking the accolade at the end, but I never really gave Zack the chance, you know, that I never thought he would win the match. So this was another match that was good, but just kind of there. And then at the end, we had Mojo Rawley coming out and saving Zack from getting a further beat down. And Rusev then tweeted afterwards, how come no one stopped the fan from getting into the ring? And he was like totally non-fazed by Mojo being there, which makes Rusev even better, in my opinion. But, yeah, so I guess we're seeing the debut of the Hype Bros on SmackDown now.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Are they both going to be on SmackDown?
Yeah, I believe they were both drafted to SmackDown.
Gotcha. Okay. And this is where my phone started going haywire on me. So I did miss Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I guess Zayn won the match overall. Your thoughts on that match?
You know, you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and you let them do what they do. You're going to get an incredible match out of these two. And there were several spots that were not stuff that you would normally see in a WWE match. And there were some scary moments. One point, Owens was on the outside, and Sami went to do the jump up, land on the top rope with his legs into the moonsault and didn't get enough spring and almost came down on his head on the edge of the apron. And then they followed that up with Sami giving Owens a brain buster on the outside portion of the apron. Yeah, it has some scary stuff. If this was the final battle, at least for now, I think it ended the right way with Zayn winning. But, I mean, again, you have two very talented wrestlers and you take the handcuffs off and let them do their thing, you're going to get, you know, a very entertaining match, and this was probably the match of the night.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go back. I wanted to get this show recorded and get it to Greg, so I will be going back and watching Owens and Zayn, as well as Becky and Natalya, which I missed as well. Natalya winning this one, which I think, depending on what story we're going with here, but I see these two being the top contenders for a SmackDown Women's Championship, and I am fine with Natalya winning the first part of this battle, if you will. But I'm curious to see where they go from here with this feud.
Yeah, this is another match, like much like the Wyatt's New Day, that I think I zoned out during, and I was kind of surprised that Natalya won. And I think it's more based on, given how long she's been in WWE and hasn't fully been utilized, as opposed to, you know, thinking Becky should just win. But I figure Becky's the new younger talent that will establish. But like you said, if these two will be the top two contenders on SmackDown, then it makes sense for Natalya to go over, and then they can build up to a potential title match between the two.
And speaking of titles, The Miz defending against Darren Young with his life coach Bob Backlund. I caught the tail. My phone finally came back to its senses, and I caught the tail end of this one. It looked to me as if maybe The Miz got disqualified in this one. I couldn't really tell how it ended.
The ending was kind of weird because The Miz tried to walk out, and Bob Backlund stopped him. And then he got in, and Maurice came over and slapped Backlund, and then Backlund kind of. He sold the slap like he just got shot in the head because he just fell down. And then everybody was down inside the ring, and the ref wasn't looking. So Maurice fell down and then yelled to Miz that Backlund had shoved her or touched her or something. And so Miz – and then Backlund went all crazy, Backlund, which is kind of redundant, and started ripping off his shirt, but he left his suspenders on. So he's just like
– Yeah, I saw him in his suspenders. I'm like, what in the world is happening here?
Yeah, and then Miz went out to confront him, and Darren Young came in from behind and put Miz in the chicken wing, and then all of a sudden the referee just called for the bell. So I don't know if it was a quick count out or if it was a DQ, or and they probably said, and I didn't hear. I was really surprised. I was waiting for Darren Young to win the title so that the title would go to Raw, leaving SmackDown with no titles, as we were discussing at the show. But they didn't go that way, although this ending, especially since these guys are on different brands now, it's not like, I mean, they can have a follow-up match, but technically they shouldn't. So I think this was probably the, I don't want to use this harshly, but this was the worst thing. Well, match-wise, this was the worst part of the night, just because it didn't really, the ending was very much a letdown.
I bet we'll find something you had even more letdown on. We'll get there in just a second. But the big six-man tag, or the second big six-man tag of the night, Enzo Amore, Big Cass, and John Cena defeating the club. And this is the last time that we'll see these six men, seemingly at least, battling it out, or these variations of these six-man tags. I was kind of surprised by this, but I did like the interaction, and I like the way I almost felt like Cena, I don't want to say passed the torch, but he kind of stepped aside and let Enzo and Big Cass do their thing before the match started. I don't know how much of it you listened to the promo and whatnot. It got a little long, but the fans there in DC were fully engaged in it, and I think if they're into it, and I was into it, I was interested in hearing it. And like I said, Cena seemed to kind of let, you know, a lot of times I think people jump on him and say he's a glory hound or whatever, but he clearly handed the mic over past that promo torch, if you will, to Enzo.
He may have passed the promo torch, but I think the ending of the match is more, you know, at feeds into the, you know, LOL Cena wins or spoiler Cena wins aspect. I don't know why John Cena won this match. I probably wouldn't have cared if Enzo or Cass would have won. I think the club should have won to give some momentum to them since they're splitting up AJ from Anderson and Gallows. But I mean, the match was a good match. I just think the ending could have been handled better.
Do you think Finn Balor will join the club on Raw?
I don't know, because they came out tonight wearing new club t-shirts, and I know commentary made mention that AJ had said, you know, they're not separating, they're growing, and no one is safe, which is the tagline from the shirt. Given how they are heels and Baylor is one of the most over faces in NXT, I don't know how you debut him with the club.
Mm-hmm.
Without fans crapping all over it.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I definitely see the club adding members.
I wonder if Virgil will come back.
Maybe. And they can call him, I don't know who the promoter of New Japan is, so I can't. Mike in mockery of his name. The match was, I did not get to hear Enzo's promo. I got a phone call right at that moment, and I will have to go back and listen, because I do enjoy the Smack Talker Skywalker's routine, although I do think it is a little long, and in 6 months it may not be as entertaining as it is now.
It is.
What's that?
No, I agree. It does get a little long, but
and I think the New Day promo gets a little long.
Yeah,
a little repetitious. But right now, if fans are buying into it, then run with it.
But and as we said before too, I think that's the good thing about this draft is that not only are we going to get a little bit of a break from that, you know, because before it would have been Raw and SmackDown each week. Yeah. That we're getting those, at least now we're cutting it back to once a week and then once a month for the pay-per-view. So I'm still trying to figure out what a certified G is, so and what's booty and what's not booty. So I'm kind of in the dark.
Yeah, but for those listening who may not know, WWE announced that Bootio cereal is a real thing now. You can pre-order. Either, I believe, through the WWE website or FYE.com has a special. They're a little pricey for
$20.
But I guess that's, you know, if you don't want to be booty, you got to pay a little money.
Well.
And I still don't know what that means, and so I will probably always be booty, so I'll probably never eat my Bootios.
Well, spoiler alert, I did order a box, and I'm going to try it, and $20, though, after shipping and handling and everything, so... It's the most expensive box of cereal I've ever purchased.
You better hope it comes with, like, I don't even know what, but yeah, I hope it's not just that generic brand of cereal that they passed off in the 80s as C-3PO's, Mr. T, Bill and Ted, what else? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I hope it's not too. So, but yeah, we'll have a full review up over on my 1-2-3 cents, probably on the YouTube channel for that. But the next part of the show, I think, was probably Chad's favorite, and that is the return of the Viper, Randy Orton, who came to hype his match against I used against because it's Chris Jericho against Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, and. I will say that I wondered how Orton would go about, or how WWE would plan to go about bringing Lesnar up in light of his, or I almost said suspension, in light of his, I guess, the allegations against him with the doping, yeah, or has that been proven?
He has failed 2 wellness tests.
Through the UFC stuff, though, not WWE. Okay.
Yeah.
So Orton did get a little jab in there, saying that Viperville, like Suplex City, but Viperville, there's no enhancement necessary for that. I don't know if that was planned. It almost felt like it wasn't, just by Jericho's reaction. I could be wrong. I'm sure it was all planned. I can't imagine Orton going out there and saying something that he wasn't told to say.
Yeah, personality, so.
Yeah. So I almost felt, though, like they were kind of going, because you wonder, are they going to, with all the publicity that Lesnar has gotten, mainstream-wise even, with the two failed drug tests for the UFC, will WWE do a test on him and suspend him, and you would still have the 30 days before SummerSlam, or do they just ignore it and go forward? Or I almost felt like plan C might have been the little interaction with Jericho tonight to perhaps then replace Lesnar with Jericho for SummerSlam if they have to. Like, that's kind of their fallback plan.
Well, because they're promoting Lesnar and Orton, I'm sure, unless, I don't know how this works, and I'm taking this all based on what I've read over the past week on the internet, so grain of salt. SummerSlam is in New York. New York has a state athletic commission that still has something to do with overseeing wrestling.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they can step in and say, because he failed this test for UFC, he is not eligible to, although I think that should be in the process right now. And it's also, it's been reported that what Lesnar failed on was a estrogen blocker. And I don't know what substances WWE tests for. So is it something that was on their list of banned substances?
I see.
I would assume that it is, but I don't know. So there may be that clause where, yes, even though he failed for UFC, if WWE did test him, he would not fail their testing.
That makes sense.
So I don't know. But then the other wrench that I don't know if you've seen this is apparently Paul Heyman's contract has expired.
Yes, because I almost expected him to come out tonight too.
Yeah. Allegedly they're working on a new deal. But then if they can't work something out with him, I mean, does Brock need does Brock need Heyman for a match to be out there, or is Heyman only needed for the build-up, which, and this is the thing with Lesnar and Orton, what is the story that's being told? Because you have one guy who hasn't been seen since WrestleMania, and another guy who hasn't been seen in 9 months, and before Orton even comes back, they're saying, oh, this is the match that's going to happen. It would have almost made more sense for Orton to come back with this highlight reel. Jericho says, oh, what are your plans? What do you want? And Orton saying, you know, we're on the cusp of a new era, but there's still one person I haven't beaten, and that's Brock Lesnar, and I'm calling Brock out.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't get why WWE announced this match the way they did. Because this match means nothing to anything. And it's, if you are a fan who has only been watching for the past year, which, judging by ratings, I don't think they're actually getting any new fans. You know, this match, you have no idea who Randy Orton is. And he's been gone for so long that even other, you know, have people forgotten about him. And the fact that Lesnar's not there either, like, is there genuine interest in this match from a fan perspective? And I know I am not the one to ask, because I did not miss Randy Orton for the last 9 months.
Well, you're the one to ask, but you're not the one to answer. So if you, the listener, want to answer, head over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/my123cents. Do you have any interest, or what is your interest level in Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar? Give it a 1 through 10, 1 being not interested at all, 10 being, yes, I'm very interested in seeing this. So I think we know Chad is probably a negative 26 on that scale.
It'll
be interesting to see, especially with all the kind of real life stuff that's been thrown in there, to see what happens next for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and then given this whole segment, I did not listen to it. I had the volume muted because I didn't care, and I think this is something that I think WWE is doing mainly to try to entice people to buy the network. Because if you throw a segment like this on a show that costs you $10 a month along with the rest of the programming, you can be like, okay, not that big of a deal. If you're paying $50 for a pay-per-view and you get a segment like this, the chances of you buying the next pay-per-view probably decrease, because you're like, I'm not paying $50 to watch something that I could see on Monday night or Tuesday night. So overall, I think this was a huge waste of time in terms of actually delivering I think it just killed the flow of the show.
Yeah, they could have saved Cesaro and Jericho for this one, quite frankly, and done Orton's announcement on Tuesday and brought him back to SmackDown Live, since that's the show he was drafted to, and saved all that for Tuesday.
But, yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah, make his return... type that up on your TV show, because you're trying to get ratings for your new live show.
We should be writing this stuff, baby. main event, triple threat match, the Shield finally, and they brought up, of course, and we've talked about it before too, the fact that at the end of the pay-per-view last month, all three members of the Shield within a matter of minutes holding the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Tonight, though, it was one man walking out who had walked in with the gold. Dean Ambrose, I think, was the right decision here. And as we talked at the beginning of the podcast, we're going to operate under the assumption that there will be some sort of championship established for Raw as well.
Yes.
What did you think of this match? I thought there was the phone kind of going in and out on this one too. So the parts of it that I saw, I definitely enjoyed. At times though, I was kind of, and I'm going to steal your line, wrestling with logic when they were selling this as, to me, it was almost as if they, not only was it Ambrose versus, you know, as the champion defending against two guys, but it was also kind of Raw versus SmackDown as to who's going to have the championship. And to me, at points, it didn't make sense for Ambrose and Rollins to be teaming up against Roman Reigns. But then I thought, well, is this all stemming back to the suspension? I mean, are they trying to punish Roman? I wasn't exactly sure what was going on there, like how much reality was bleeding into the storytelling going on. But to me, it would have made more sense if Reigns and Rollins had made some sort of deal, especially with Stephanie being the evil, villainous, pardon my French, bitch that she's supposed to be, the billionaire princess. It would have made more sense that she's trying to strike a deal because she wants that championship. Doesn't matter if it's Reigns or Rollins that brings it, but she wants that gold. And maybe that'll be part of the storyline that goes into Raw on Monday. I don't know. But to me, it would have made more sense than having Ambrose kind of teaming up and pairing with Rollins during parts of that match.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think the team up on Reigns was probably due to the suspension and trying to make him not, kind of keep him down, keep him in place maybe. But I also, to me, this match, there were points where I was confused at times because I looked away for a second and then all of a sudden looked back and Ambrose and Rollins are fighting in the ring and Reigns is nowhere to be seen. And I mean, it seemed to stretch on for like a good 5 minutes with no Reigns. you know, I was confused as to, did I miss something where Reigns had been eliminated and they had turned it, or they had turned it into like an elimination match and I missed Reigns being eliminated, or was he just injured on the outside? It was a very interesting decision to go that way, given the history of Reigns' performance in multi-man matches where he lays around on the outside. And it kind of, when he finally did pop back up, it kind of, maybe it was that deja vu factor, but I thought, you know, is this a sign that he's winning the match? And overall, I was not surprised to see Reigns be the one to get pinned. You were making the case that Reigns and Rollins should have been teaming up to try to bring the title to Raw, but I can see this being kind of also setting up, if they do add the title to Raw, it sets up Reigns versus Rollins to have that match, to be the title contender.
Sure.
And I'm curious to see what happens with Reigns going forward, given the suspension and given will he just be inserted back into where he was? Will he be knocked down for a few months to, you know, as a punishment? Will the fans start to take to Reigns now that he's been suspended? I don't know. So many questions with Reigns. I don't know.
That is true, and time, of course, will tell. Overall thoughts, final words as we kind of wrap things up here?
As I kind of hinted earlier, this was not a bad show. I would probably give it a solid B rating. The majority of the matches were perfectly good matches. It just lacked... There was nothing really on this show that made it must-see. And I don't think... And maybe it's because of the brand split. Like, you couldn't really build too much that would have payoffs later. So this was kind of an ending cap to a lot of matches and a lot of feuds. So it'll be interesting now to see where the two brands go. And I believe SmackDown is, or SummerSlam is the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious to see what they build up besides Orton and Lesnar. And yeah, the cynic in me says don't get too excited for WWE because they're better at not delivering lately. But I am curious to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm going to remain optimistic too. I was probably, like I said, my feed was in and out, so I don't really think it's fair that I assess a grade based on that alone. But like Chad said, I didn't feel like had I missed the show, I wouldn't have really missed anything. And I could have just gone on and looked at the highlight clips, I guess, and been just as satisfied, I think.
Yeah, I think really the only thing, if you didn't see the show, that you should check out is Zayn versus Owens.
Which, of course, is the one match I missed. So I will go back and watch that, and the Becky Natalia match as well. So anything else as we say goodbye here for this episode 88?
I just wrote a blog about this on Friday, and I mentioned it last week. I'm gonna keep plugging it because I know some people still are a little hesitant, but Impact Wrestling is probably my most favorite looked forward to wrestling show of the week. If you haven't checked them out lately, give them a couple weeks to see what they're doing now. They've got some great talent there and storylines that are making sense, and don't be a dummy. Yeah, that's all I can say.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just got the weather report in, and it is a chilly 32 degrees in hell right now. So Chad is endorsing. Next thing you're going to tell me, Donald Trump's running for president. I mean, come on.
I thought you were going to say, next thing you're going to tell me is you enjoyed a Randy Orton segment.
That may come next. Who knows? Chad's endorsing
tonight. And all I can say is, you know, we have the chance to put a WWE Hall of Famer in the White House come November. That is more important. The first WWE Hall of Famer is more important than the first woman in the White House. Think about it.
All righty. Well, folks, thanks so much.
Vince McMahon, Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. For Chad.
Finally get a job in Washington.
Yes, maybe perhaps that will happen. But anyway, folks, we digress. Again, thanks for checking things out. Head over to my123cents.com. We'll also try firing up the Facebook Live and getting things to work technically-wise and getting Chad a part of that as well. So stay tuned for more announcements about those kinds of things, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.